Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
somebody else. I know all about you. I've watched you running around the neighborhood, trying to rip me off. I said, just the other day, when I was hanging out down on the main drag, yeah, I went in to get me a small teeny weeny tonic for the evening, yeah. I saw my tie is gone. I opened up the door, yeah, and there was my glove compartment all torn out on my dashboard. And here you come, here you come, here you come, grinning and grinning, yeah, grinning and grinning, yeah. Here you come, here you come.
I know you did it
with the power sign. And talking about my man, solid on that, my brother. I say, I don't act. How can you really, 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 really mean it? I know about you. I know what you're good for. I know what you're doing around here. I know all about you. I know all about you. I know, I know.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I hope you enjoyed that. That's the premise of the show today, Don't You Call Me Brother, which basically is what I'm talking about is a majority of the prisons around the country, even in the state of Illinois, right here where I am, are filled with nothing but African Americans. And that's a shame. And a lot of those African Americans deserve to be there. And in some cases, if you're walking down the aisle of some of these jails and prisons, and the African Americans, you know, they'll start calling you brother, you know. I mean, this used to happen back in the day, too. I remember when we would walk down the street, or I would be walking down the street, and I see a lot of fellas standing on the corner, and, you know, some of them would say, wave, what's going on, brother? What's happening, brother? How's it doing? How you doing, brother? You know, and when you know good and well that these guys should not be calling you brother, because in some cases they were hanging around trying to commit crimes, even they may even commit a crime against you and calling you brother, and you're not their brother and they're not your brother, So sometimes that even happens to me today. I can, you know, I mean, I may even go to the store or something and I see a few fellas standing around. Hey, what's up, brother? What's up, brother? And I know the minute I turn my back on some of these guys, they will put a knife in my back. And I'm saying to myself, I say, don't call me brother, because I know that you're up to no good. And that's why that's the premise of the show today, but not personally, but because there's so much to talk about today. So I just wanted to clarify that and kind of clear it up if I did. And a great song. It will not start off the audio for the show every day. It will be the original. But I just thought that was perfect for one of the subjects, one of the topics for the show today. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being so kind and appreciative. And I really do appreciate everything. I really do. I'm very appreciative. I'm an appreciative kind of guy. So broadcasting live from Chicago. I believe it's around 85 degrees near the lake or something, but it feels great. It's 6:11 p.m. Chicago time, standard time, CD time. It's great. It's a great time. It's wonderful. Okay, and we're going to be talking about a little bit more about guns, police brutality, things like that. Black on black crime, and basically black on black crime, put down the guns. All of that is synonymous with don't you call me brother, because a lot of the crimes that are being committed in the United States are done by African Americans, against African Americans. You know, I know about the police brutality and Black Lives Matter, but we have to nip this in the bud. We got to stop young brothers from killing young brothers from, you know, just killing the innocent, you know. And these guys, even though I'm African-American, these guys are not my brothers. And I don't want them calling me brother. I mean, you go out and you start shooting and killing and maiming and robbing and beating up on women, domestic violence, beating up on children, kicking your dog. You are not my brother, so don't even think about it. You know, but, you know, that's just a fact. That's how I feel. Okay. All right, we're also going to be talking about schools are going without textbooks and homework. Some kids, and that's true. It's bizarre. So we're going to touch on that, and because I'm, I have firsthand knowledge of that, you know, and I'll tell you how I feel about that. Kids not having textbooks or their homework free. You know, I don't think it's right, and I will give you my opinion later on in the show. And I'm going to still be talking about put down the guns, even though I'm looking at a gun right now on my computer screen, you know, on Huffington Post. And it says, the United States of violence. It doesn't say the United States of America. It says the United States of violence. Wow, that is something. You know, that is something. I'm pretty sure there's a pretty informative article behind that, and we'll get into that. Like I said, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. I'm all over. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Amazon. I got a few books or essays and short stories up on Amazon. Would you please go there and check those out? They're very good. They were very, and they were awfully hard work. Okay? So check out my material on Amazon.com, George Wilder Jr., you know. All right, so this is Labor Day weekend. Yeah, this is Labor Day weekend, and you know what? Gas prices are at an all-time low. At an all-time low. I know there's going to be a bunch of people exiting out of town. And it's going to, and you know what? The weather is going to be nice, at least here in Chicago. And I got a feeling wherever you are, the weather is going to be just as great. And it looks like it's going to be, I'm looking out of the window of my studio here, and it looks like it's going to be a great, great Labor Day weekend. I'm pretty sure people are getting the grills ready and getting to head on to the parks and stuff like that with friends, family, you know, and whoever. Maybe Facebook friends also. Yeah. It's going to be a great, great and wonderful time. I have no guests today, so it'll just be me. I'll be your guest for the day. And 647, bingo, 347-857-1762. All right, the George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Okay, and we're going to be talking about schools are going textbook and homework free. Okay, I'll be right back, and we'll get right into that. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can do this. Be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Okay, all right, we're back. We're back, and we're talking about schools are going textbook-free, homework-free. What I'm saying, what I mean that is they are giving up on textbooks. I mean, when your kid come home from school, don't expect to see a textbook. I mean, there's really a lot of reasons for that. Some schools are saying that they cost too much. Of course, everything costs too much. Of course, the budget cuts, and we're going to talk about that later. But schools, some schools, I can't say all schools, but I do know of some because my son goes to one, and he doesn't have any textbooks. He went to the school last year. They didn't. I mean, I really bitched about it. I mean, because I just cannot fathom kids not bringing home books and reading books, you know. But this school in particular, they do not have textbooks. And in some cases, a lot of schools are not giving out homework. I'm talking about grade schools, grammar schools, and high schools. They are not doing it. If you have a thought on that, my number is 347-857-1762. This is crazy. I think it's nutty. I mean, they are, cities are trying every which way that they can to cut funding for these kinds of things. No textbooks. And if the school does have textbooks, they're very old and outdated. They're not current. You know, they're not updated or anything. So, and a lot of schools, they're going without textbooks, but they're telling the students that the textbooks are going to be substituted for a laptop computer, which is okay. I mean, I don't have a beef with them substituting a laptop computer for textbooks, but some schools aren't even giving kids laptop computers. How do they expect kids to learn? Especially when you don't give any homework. My son comes home, he doesn't have any homework. I have to make homework for him. And he has books. He's going to have books, even if I have to go to the library and check out books for each class and each subject that he has. I want to make sure that my kid learns. The reason why, I could teach him at home. I can teach him right here at home in my studio. I can teach him right here. Because we have about three computers, and he has one, and you can take a online class. He never has to set the foot, he never has to set foot outside of home. But the reason why I sent him out to a school is because I want him to be around people his own age. I want him to be around people of different nationalities so he can learn. Because you learn better when you're around others. You learn a lot. You learn a lot. I think he learns more around everybody he's... I know he learns a lot around me because I make sure that he reads, even if the school doesn't make sure he reads. Because one of the things is a lot of schools, like I said before, they're cutting funding. They're cutting back on everything. They're cutting back on after-school programs. They're doing a lot of things, I believe, to hurt the children. And it's up to the parents to take up that slack where the school leaves off. He has books, chemistry, geometry, math, English 2, books that I pick up at the library. And whatever he's studying at school, we'll go through those books that we borrow from the library. He will have books. He's got plenty of books. Because I'm picking up the slack where the school does leave off. So that's a great thing. Do I agree with no textbooks, no homework? No, I don't. I don't. Because I think you and I, when we went to school, we had textbooks, history book, math book. I mean, you name it. Reading, you know. So I think it's awful. I think it's awful, but it's permeating throughout our society where the budget cuts are just inhumane, affecting education, affecting your child. So like I said before, I think adults, if you have any children, take up the slack where the school does not. You can't even depend on your kid getting a good education nowadays. You can't. You send them off to school, you know, they come back home with nothing. But yet they're being graded. You know, they're being graded. So schools are going textbooks free. Not all schools, some schools. And it's something that I don't like. And I chose this topic because I thought it was controversial. And I thought it was, you know, open some eyes of some of the parents out there to take up the slack for these schools. Lack. And they do lack them. They do lack. I mean, you know, sometimes you feel your kids are wasting their time going to school because, you know, if you're an educated parent, you know damn well you can teach your own children. But some of us just like to see the kids going out the door every morning, you know. I know I do. I do. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And we're talking about schools are going textbooks free. Students clearly like having access to apps. They find it very engaging, and they also like the fact that you could instantly access internet from the same device Okay, all right. I got to saying that we are very encouraged by our initial results, and certainly it warrants further investigation into not having textbooks or homework. Because some schools, they don't even use books in the classroom. Basically, this is how it goes. Your kid go to maybe English class or English 2, English 3 or something in high school or something like that, and they get to class, they sit down, all of a sudden the teacher has something on the board, and she writes everything on the board, and the kids have to do what? They have to take notes. They have to write everything off that board, and then they take notes. And then they have to study those notes, maybe a day or two to study those notes. Then suddenly the teacher pushes a test in front of them. That's how they do it. The teacher writes on whatever the assignment is, whatever the instruction are for that particular class. The teacher writes all of that stuff on the board, answers and everything, you know. And the kids have to take notes, write everything down. You know, my son has a couple of notebooks because he has a lot of notes to take because he has no books. And then he has to come home and we study together, or he studies by himself in study hall or something. And then a couple of days later, like I just said, he has an exam. And whatever he gets on that exam from taking notes from what the teacher had written on the board, that's what his grade will be, and that's how it's always been, and that's the way it is. Nobody goes through a book. However, the teacher hands out a lot of photocopies, or some people call them handouts, you know, printouts from books. You know, somebody might be talking about slavery. They won't have a book. They'll just have a few pages of printouts or photocopies taken from a book and, you know, stapled together and pass it around to all the kids in the classroom. So he has a lot of printouts, but no books, you know. And so if he has to do any reading, the story is going to be printed out from the book. Somebody's going to go to the photocopier and, copy about 100 copies and staple certain parts of it together and start passing it around to each student in the classroom. And then they go home and or somewhere and read it. Then they come back the next day to have a test on it. But there's no actual books in the classroom. And that's a shame. And like I said before, okay, textbooks, free schools, share experience and insight. I'm pretty sure they're saying something positive. And they're using one-on-one laptop programs, you know, for the curriculum. Okay, I still don't think it's the way to go for our children. I really don't. I am a book person, okay? Not just a writer, but a book person. And I don't think it's right. And this is a pet peeve with me. I can stay on this topic probably for the duration of the show, you know, because I do think kids should have books in school. But most of the time, they're separating the books for printouts, or they're separating the books for a laptop or a tablet or something. And your assignments, the work assignments, are on the computer, on the laptop. Like I said, I don't have much of a beef with that. But this particular school that my son is going to, he doesn't have a computer. They just print things out. And I've had people tell me to get him out of that school. Take him out and send him to a better school. But a better school, is there any better schools around? All of them are screwed up, if you ask me, because every school around here, I would have taken him out. But I don't want to take him out of school and put him in a school that is worse than the ones that I'm taking him out of. Okay? Because schools are just screwed up everywhere, even private schools, Catholic schools. Don't even mention public schools. Every school is trying to save money. Every school has had some sort of funding cuts. Every school has had teachers laid off. This is why I just got through saying, if you can educate your kid yourself, if you're educated, then you should be able to educate your own child. I'm not saying do not trust schools, but I don't trust them. I really don't. I don't think they're doing anything for most of these kids. These kids are just away for a few hours a day, and that's it. You know. And every time my son comes home, I say, hey, what, you have homework? No. You have books? No. You got to read? No. You know, and I get frustrated with that because I feel when he's out of school, he should have something to do. Some sort of homework, some kind of reading project, something relating to his education. He has none. And I've gone to the school, I've talked to the principal, I've talked to the teachers. You know, they tell me, they talk about the state, they talk about the city, they talk about whatever. However, they do not want to take the blame. You know, I really railed about this a couple of years ago, about him not being educated properly at this particular school. And some people say, take him out. How can you take him out of a school when the next school is probably going to be doing the same thing or worse? The best thing I can do is probably educate him at home myself. But I don't have the time. I got my own projects. I got things I have to do. I got things I have to tend to. So, and I, like I said before, I would rather him leave the house every day so he can go around and be around kids his own age, his peers, you know. And I think he likes that better. I think he likes leaving. I mean, you don't want to be around Dad all the time, you know, and Dad don't want to be around him all the time, even though we love each other. But we have to give each other some space, you know. All right, so this is George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show talking about text-free schools. And it's not a good thing. I don't agree with it. Like I just said, my son doesn't have homework. I'm going to give him homework. If he doesn't have a reading assignment from his school, I'm going to give him that reading assignment. If he needs to volunteer somewhere where he can up his grades, I'm going to find that place for him. I'm not going to rely on any school anywhere to educate my kid, because a lot of these times, a lot of the teachers are in that. A lot of the teachers in some of these schools, they don't have as much education as they should have when they're teaching your children, because a lot of the schools are going for cheaper personnel. They don't really have quality teachers because of the budget cuts. The teachers that's teaching your children might be one grade ahead of them, you know. So you don't know. A lot of things I ask my son when he gets home, how was school? What did you study? He can't tell me sometimes. What did you guys do? You know, he, so, you know, I have to make sure that he reads, whether the school gives him a reading assignment or not. I make sure he reads. Whether they give him homework or not, I make sure he does something besides coming home, turning on the television, watching the Family Guy or whatever that stupid stuff is on television. He has to do something. If the school is not giving it to him, Dad will. I will. You know, because I just want the best for him. And I don't think some of these schools or charter schools or Catholic schools or private schools or aren't going to do it. The teachers at some of these schools, they are afraid of losing their jobs. And they should be, because it can happen and it will happen. So teach your child yourself, you know, take up the slack where the schools are not taking up the slack. Don't send your child to school thinking that the school is, you know, is the best thing for your child. You are the best thing for your child. I mean, if your child is, I mean, go through your child book bag every night. Find out what they're doing in school. Find out about the curriculum, the subjects. What is he doing? The name of his teachers, you know. Look for homework if he has any, you know. But it's your child. You should know what to do and make sure that he's learning or she is learning. You know, so it's all about, because you know what? They are the future. You probably heard that. They are the future. And it is hard out here. I mean, it is very hard. So you have to have some sort of education. Even after education, you have to have a lot of knowledge. And you have to be smart. You have to be intelligent. You have to be bright, sometimes overly intelligent, in order to make it out here in today's society, because it's rough. If you don't make it out here, the ones who are making it, they're going to walk right over you. Today's world is about being smart, intelligent, bright, ambitious, good looking. I'm laughing, but it's true. It is true. So you have to, you know, take up the slack where the schools leave off. And if you disagree with me, drop me a comment or something. My number is 347-857-1762. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm on Amazon. I've got plenty of work. Matter of fact, I got some work coming up, books and stuff like that, short stories coming up for 2016. I hope you guys look out for that. It's going to be something. And you know what? When I write, I have fun doing it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have fun. You know, and then sometimes when you read something that I write, you can tell, wow, George is having fun here. This is good. He's having a great time writing this. They would be right. I do have a wonderful time when I'm writing, when I'm producing. It's fun, or I wouldn't do it. And it's not a hobby. We all would like to make a living at what we write, you know, regardless whether it's nonfiction or fiction, short stories, essays. We all would like to make a living at it, but it's not always feasible. It's not always possible, you know, because when you're writing, you have to keep in mind that thousands and thousands of e-books, books are being published every year. For me, for instance, I write an e-book. I'm up against thousands and thousands of other authors, you know, and they're up against me. So, but you know what? It's enough room out there for everybody. We don't have to catch fight over this or anything. It's enough room out there for all of us. All we have to do is get the publicity, do a lot of marketing, and it's there. Wow, how did I get on writing? Well, anyway, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Don't call me, brother. Schools are going text-free, and why? Why? Because they're cutting the budget. The funding is drying up. For example, the state of Illinois, we still have no budget. I think we're going into the third month of no budget. And there is not a budget in sight. These guys are not working together. They're not trying to come up with anything. So this is the third month without an Illinois budget. Somebody should be taken to jail on this. This guy is not doing his job. I have to give it to Rauner. He won an overturned victory a few days in the Illinois House. He only won because three African-American representatives, if I could be wrong, they didn't show up. See, by them not showing up and taking the vote, that tells you right then and there, that they are not representing the people who voted for them, for their butts. And from my understanding, their asses will be kicked out of office coming November of 2016. Their butts are going to be out because, you know, Rauner's got this victory, and now the unions are scared to death that he's going to force them to strike. And then once they strike, he's going to replace them with strike breakers because he doesn't give a damn. His sole mission I'm talking about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois. His sole mission is to break union. That's his mission. From my understanding, a mental health facility in the city of Chicago has just closed. It was serving 153 people who needed those services. Thank you, Bruce Rauner. Places like this that represent the vulnerable are closing down in the city of Chicago all the time because of Rauner, this guy, this rogue governor, taking this state down because he wants to. Rauner's term is up in 2018. He will not get back in office. There is no way. And like I said before, a lot of the people who voted for this guy, they want their votes back. It's too late. I mean, you should have thought of that. You know, maybe this will teach them next time to pay a little bit more attention to the people that they're putting in office or not putting in office. And another reason why Rauner got in, I've said this 1,000 times, people did not vote. You don't vote, this is what happens. The bad guy gets in and he wrecks everything, and that's what Rauner is doing. He's wrecking the state, lying. I mean, his oats were filled when he got this victory, and he only got it because these guys that showed their butts up to vote. And they're Democrats. They're Democrats. Three of them. The legislature needed 71 votes to override Rauner. They got 68. These three assholes did not show up. But they're out. They are out. They might as well just start packing their bags because they are OUT out of the legislature. They are out of a job because they did not do their job. Oh, man. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of George Wilder Jr. Show. As you can see, I'm very upset. I am upset because this guy Rauner, Bruce Rauner, he has been emboldened. This is a victory. But he can't be too emboldened because he has to remember 68 people voted against him. 68. It would have been 71 if these other fools would have showed up. He can't be. He got by this time. This is the first step in it. But, you know, this guy is trying to, I don't know. Anyway, we just have to wait and see. We have to wait and see. But this is not good for Illinois. Rauner is not good for Illinois. He wants to be another Scott Walker. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. All right. Like I was saying earlier, the United States of Violence. And I'm going to incorporate this with Put Down the Guns and Black on Black Crime in the United States. All right, here we go. More than 3,700 killed by gunfire. And in Chicago, I believe it's about 104 people so far this year has been killed by gunfire. Nearly 8,200 wounded. The real story of the season was not the shooting that drew headlines. Wow. See, what is this? Let's see. It says, there were devout Bible students executed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the story about Charleston, where those Bible students were executed by this Dylan Roof, who is now getting the death penalty, something he truly deserves. There were the devout Bible students executed in a Charleston church and two young women shot from behind while enjoying a silly sex comedy in a Louisiana theater. And the 1,433 everyday anonymous quickly forgotten gun deaths during the weeks in between. There, There were the dog days headlines from the cities about murder tallies usually not seen until the year's end. Summers have traditionally been the high season for gun violence in the United States, but the summer of 2015 felt especially bloody. Even before a gunman gave this country a killing designed to go viral, the attack timed to interrupt a live broadcast. The total numbers, the numbers that matter, these are between the start of Memorial Day weekend and August 28th, the date when the most recent statistics were pulled. An estimated 3,702 people were killed by guns in America. Another 8,153 were wounded. That's according to a preliminary data from the Gun Violence Archive, which tracks incidents of gun violence through media reports and police blotters, amounts to 81 or more shooting deaths and 959 more gun injuries than during the same period in 2014. Okay, so all of this is true. So what are we going to do about it? You know, a lot of people write, a lot of people talk, a lot of people just espouse, but no one's coming up with a solution for gun violence. I've done talk shows forever on gun violence, and nothing ever happens. You know, and we know how the criminals get the guns. We know what they're going to do with the guns. We know there's a lot of mentally ill people out here carrying guns, whether legal or illegal. Because if someone's carrying a gun that is legal, I mean, people can snap. People can go nuts. People can go crazy and just start, like I said before, spraying bullets all over the place. It's really bad in Chicago. I mean, here in Chicago, I mean, the weekend. I mean, what is this? Labor Day weekend? Oh, my God. I don't want to sound too dire, but this is Labor Day weekend. I mean, I remember the 4th of July weekend in 2014. It was a bloody day in Chicago. It was a bloody weekend in Chicago. And now I'm thinking that Labor Day isn't quite here yet, but it is the weekend. And statistics usually just increase during the weekend, almost every weekend, but holiday weekends are really, you know, bloody. And I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know anymore about how we can do something to stop this. Okay, gun shootings, there are, of course, other ways to view the 2015 shootings that have made the most read and most watched list. For example, as the product of racism. Oh, yeah, racism. Mm-hmm. Pure and simple. Or a mentally health problem. Okay, I just talked about that. Or the perils of gun-free zones. Gun-free zones. Dylan Roof, John Hauser, these are murderers, all right? Vester Flanagan were all able to buy guns through licensed dealers. And that means that some of these murderers, killers, obtained their gun legally. 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 And just snapped. And lots of people are dead. They are dead. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being with me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to take a break right here. I should be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. All right, black people in the United States are more likely to be victims of violent confrontations with police officers than whites because they commit more violent crimes than whites per capita. Despite the revelation that half of the officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray, the incident that led to the Baltimore riots, are black, the narrative that black people are being disproportionately unfairly targeted by predominantly white officers and a racial criminal justice system in the United States continues to dominate. Basically, it's saying that most crimes in the United States are committed by black people. Most crimes, not only shootings, but crime in general, robbing, domestic violence, stealing, thugging, gangbanging, shootings, it's all lumped in there. But black people, even if we don't like it, even we don't like to say it, but it's reality. You visit any prison within the United States, basically, it's all black people. Black young people locked up, incarcerated. Their lives are completely over. I mean, if someone gets paroled, there's more likely that that person is going to wind up back in jail because that person cannot get a job, not with a police record, not being in prison for 1 or 2 years. That person can't get a job anywhere. That person's going to wind back up because that person, when a person's been locked up for so long, they are so used to getting this and that. They have somewhere to stay. They have something to eat. Once they're let go, put out back into society, they don't have those meals, 3 meals a day. You know, they don't have the books to read. So a lot of them criminals, if they're let out from prison, they're going right back. They're going to commit something, probably purposely, on purpose, just to go back. Because prison life sometimes is all that they know. It's all they know. And it's sad, and I'm going to say this again, it's sad, but it's true. The African American male commits more crime and mayhem in the United States than any other ethnic group. That's the truth. I mean, statistics will tell you, like I just said, walk into any correctional facility, look at the books. You know, it's sad. And it's true. People are saying, well, there's no black men. We're all the black men. They're in jail. They're locked up. And a lot of them are there because they really did commit the crime. They got caught. And it's sad. It's sad to see the brothers locked up like that. It is very sad. And it is very unnerving because there's so much potential that's inside of that jail has been wasted. The talent is gone. You know, so, and it's not good. Okay, let me see here. What we got here? Let's see this. Okay, facts. Despite making up 13% of the population, blacks commit around half of the homicides in the United States. Wow. A homicide is just a person killing another person. And they're saying that blacks make up about half of that. That's quite a bit. That's quite a few. The Department of Justice statistics shows that between 1980 and 2008, blacks committed 52% of the homicides compared to 45% of homicides committed by whites. More up-to-date FBI statistics tell a similar story. In 2013, black criminals earned... In 2013, black criminals carried out 38% of the murders compared to 31.1% by whites. I don't want to down African Americans, but, you know, they are the most arrested and taken off and carted off. It's just sad. It's just not right. It's just not right. So we're going to talk about getting out to vote. We have to vote. Okay? We have to do that. And because the Republicans, if I can move on to the next segment, the Republicans are trying to destroy Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood. They're trying to destroy it. They don't want it. I mean, it doesn't matter about some doctored videos that Fox News is showing. They want to destroy it. And we're going to talk about that a little later. Okay, Donald Trump. Donald Trump is making the news again. His poll numbers have gone through the roof. He is probably going to be the nominee, and the Republicans probably should just face it. He is going to be the guy. He's funny. I wouldn't vote for him. I've said it many times on this show. I would not vote for Donald Trump. He's not. He does interviews. You know, he does these interviews, and then the moderator asks him a question, and he can't really answer the question. And then when he can't answer the question, he blames the person who asked him the question that they were up to something, or they asked him a question where it's a got you question. And it's not. It's just plain and simple question. He just didn't know. Donald Trump knows nothing about foreign policy. Donald Trump knows nothing about politics, if you ask me. I've listened to the guy. He's just all over the place. I mean, he had an interview with Chuck Todd, and it didn't go very well. But you know what? His poll numbers keep going up. I think they like his straight talk. You know, I think they like that he's the straight talker. He may not be too knowledgeable about certain things, and he has not. A lot of people are questioning why doesn't he have foots on the ground in every state. He hasn't got a ground crew. He's going to need an office in every state. If you're running for president, you're going to have people working for you in every state, because those people who are working for you, they are the ones that are capable of getting your name on the ballot in that state. So he has no ground crew working for him in every state. Not to say he will not, you know, but it would seem as though, since he's out front on the Republican side of the aisle, that he would immediately start getting together his ground troops, so to speak. People in getting offices in every state, setting up offices, setting up people to work for him, to get him on the ballot, to get people to vote for him in those states. You know, so you never know. It might happen. It may happen. It may not happen. But that's something that he has to figure out, and he has to do it quick. Okay, the jobs report came out, and yes, the unemployment rate is 5.1%. No, we're not at all at. It's 5.1%. No, we're not at all full employment, something like that. I don't understand that statement, but anyway. But there's a lot of people still out of work. I don't know what it is. The jobs report is down. I never seen it this low. I probably never paid a month when it was this low, but it is low. It's 5.1%. That means the economy is good. People are working, you know, but there's a lot of people who are not working, you know. And whenever the jobs report is this low, you tell yourself, well, people are working. But what kind of jobs are they working at? And first thing that comes to mind, minimum wage jobs, low-paying jobs. You know, $7 an hour, $8, $11, $10, $11. These are, from my estimation, they're minimum wage jobs. Because everything is going up. Everything. There's nothing that can go buy cheaply anymore. Everything is going up except for gas. Gas is going down, but you know what? Gas is only going down to go up again. That's all. It's gonna go up again. So everybody's gonna. You might as well take advantage of it now because it's gonna go up again. You know it, and I know it. Okay. So it was a great jobs report. It means people are working. But like I said, you ask yourself what kind of jobs that they're having, that they have. You know. So hopefully they're good jobs. The labor force remained flat in August. It was flat. So basically, the economy is doing pretty well. Pretty well. But things are high. And I'm in Chicago, and Rahm Emanuel is talking about taxes on everybody. This guy is, oh, man, he wants to raise taxes. 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 Let me see. All right, we're going to take a break right here. I'm going to be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. Let's see. All right. Be right back. All right, here it says Mayor Emanuel orders 6-week amnesty for pre-2012 tickets, debts, and everything. Okay, to generate millions to give beleaguered scofflaws. Scofflaw is somebody who owes a bill to the city and hasn't paid yet. Mayor Rahm Emanuel on Friday authorized a 6-week amnesty program that will extend to all outstanding debts owed to the city, not just parking, red light, and speed camera tickets. City Hall has been reluctant to offer frequent amnesty programs for the fear of reducing collection rates by creating an expectation of periodic breaks. Okay? All right, but the City Council Progressive Caucus has urged the mayor to throw scofflaws a bone to reduce the city's mountain of outstanding debt and chip away at the $30 billion pension crisis that has dropped Chicago's bond rating to junk status. Wow. Everyday Chicagoans also appeal for another amnesty during a three-town meeting. Emanuel held this week and solicited cost-cutting and revenue-raising ideas from the general public. Yeah, he had this meeting, I think it was a couple of days ago, and the Republicans, not the Republicans, I'm sorry, the public got in his ass. Like they were just, because he wants to raise taxes, $500 million in tax he wants us to pay. And a lot of people were just pissed off. They said, hey, wow, you work for us. We don't work for you. We hired you to do things to make our lives better, but you're making our lives worse by raising these taxes. We are taxed to death in this town. I'm so fed up with taxes, I can move out myself. I'm not lying. I mean, Tony Preppwinkle, the Cook County commissioner or president or something, she raised taxes. She said she wasn't going to raise taxes. But suddenly, and that's why she got in office, because she vowed not to raise taxes. After a few months in office, she raised taxes. You can't trust these people. I remember when Pat Quinn was the governor of Illinois. He raised taxes. The city raised taxes. The county raised taxes. Everything is going up. Rents are going up. Mortgages are going up. Food is going up. The cost of everything is going up. Goods and services going up. And he wants more taxes? Don't know. It says something here. The appeals got even louder after the Chicago Sun-Times disclosed that Emanuel was poised to raise property taxes by $500 million for police and fire pensions and school construction and raise $100 million more in imposing a suburban-style garbage collection fee. He's trying to grab money from anywhere and everywhere to balance the city's budgets, to pay teachers, to pay firefighters, to pay police officers. You know, he's trying to dig in the child pockets to pay city workers. And I don't like that. I mean, most of us don't like that. So we have politicians that are just rogue. You know, they're all about, they're supposed to be serving the people. They're supposed to be out here making our lives better. But all they do and all they have done is make lives worse. Worse. Because they are the ones who mismanage their budget. We didn't do it. They mismanaged the budget for 10 or 15, 20 years. We had nothing to do with their screw up. But yet, he wants to go into our pocket. Preppwinkle went into our pockets. It's just insane. And everything is just so damn expensive. You can hardly live. You can hardly survive. Even if you are struggling with 10 kids, they want some of that. You know, they want some of whatever you're getting to take care of your kids. If you're living in a cheap apartment, they come and it doesn't matter. If you're sleeping on the street corner, they're coming after you. They're going to tax you for sleeping. They want money. And he wants the money so he can pay the fire department, the police department. I don't know why he's wants to pay the police department. They're not doing anything to protect us out here. Why would I want to pay the police officers any more money when they're not doing a damn thing to stop the shootings, to go get the gangbangers and the bad guys off the street so we can walk down the street and feel safe? But yet, all these taxes, it doesn't make sense. All of these damn taxes hitting us very, very hard. You know, and it says in 2002, City Hall raked in more than $8.2 million and wiped out 242,000 old parking tickets off the books with 6 weeks parking tickets amnesty, followed by a drop in the boot threshold and 5 unpaid tickets to 3. Currently, payment plans are only available after the fines double. Wow. The city also plans to simplify payment plans options for motorists by allowing them to sign up online. This guy is, he's trying to grab money anywhere he can, you know, and this is awful. This is just awful. If you owe the city any money, you're going to lose your job unless you set up some sort of payment plan, and you have to, in order for you to sign up for a payment plan, you have to owe them money in double digits. You know, it got to be in double digits. You can't, if you owe them $5,000 $10,000, you have to be in double digits. $10,000 probably when they're going to start having a fine, if I'm correct on that. If I'm not, then you can always call in and say, George, you're wrong on that. 347-857-1762 is my number. Call in. I'll write it down. Take it with you. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show broadcasting on Block Talk Radio. Here we go. I'm going to play a clip right here on gun violence.
I'm also just now being told we know Hillary Clinton is in Iowa, cutting her vacation short. She's back out on the trail. She also now has apparently spoken about what happened in Roanoke. Let's take a listen to Hillary Clinton.
First of all, I was so just stricken to think that these two young people doing the work that you guys do every single day would be murdered on live television. But I will also reiterate, we have got to do something about gun violence in America. And I will take it on. There are many people who face it and know it, but then turn away because it's hard. It's a very political, difficult issue in America. But I believe we are smart enough, we are compassionate enough to figure out how to balance the legitimate Second Amendment rights with preventive measures and control measures so that whatever motivated this murderer who eventually took his own life, we will not see more deaths, needless, senseless deaths. So, yes, I feel just great heartache at what happened, and I want to reiterate how important it is we not let yet another terrible instance go by without trying to do something more to prevent this incredible killing that is stalking our country. And we've had so many terrible instances of it in the last 2 years, but it happens every day. Intentional, unintentional, murder, suicide, it happens every day. And there is so much evidence that if guns were not so readily available, if we had universal background checks, if we could just put some time out between the person who's upset because he got fired or the domestic abuse or whatever other motivation may be working on someone who does this, that maybe we could prevent this kind of carnage. So I hope that in addition to expressing sympathy for those directly affected, that this is maybe for the media, for the public, for elected officials, for every American, what it hopefully will finally take for us to act. Thanks.
Are you aware of that?
You guys, tell me where we're going to break.
Yeah, that was Hillary. Yeah, that was Hillary Clinton. Clip of Hillary Clinton talking gun violence a few weeks ago. Was it a few days ago when the a TV personality and her crewman was gunned down on live television? I'm pretty sure you heard all about that. And she's blaming guns for that. Guns in the wrong hands. Okay, I'm going to be talking about guns on this show periodically because, you know, the killing and the shootings and seem as though they're just going on forever. And we need politicians to stand up and to do something. We need to keep Black lives do matter. They do matter. They do matter. But this is just totally ridiculous. They do matter. And here's a clip that's telling us, let's see, how some of these criminals get guns.
All this week, the debate has continued over guns and violence in America. But amid all the talk about background checks, magazine clips, there is one statistic you should know. A huge percentage of the guns out on the street are stolen, and hundreds of thousands of those turn out to be stolen from homes in your neighborhood. ABC Senior Justice Department correspondent Pierre Thomas decided to investigate.
You're looking at a New Mexico Walmart on Christmas Day. Mass thieves stealing rifle after rifle. This is a robbery in progress in Colorado. But these young crooks are not there to steal cash. They're there for the guns. and watch as thieves in South Carolina ram this stolen SUV right through the front door of this gun store. See right there? That's a rifle. Smash and grabs at gun stores happening across the country.
Gun stores are the candy store for criminals.
Nearly 25,000 guns per year are lost or stolen from gun dealers. But it may surprise you that an estimated 230,000 guns annually, roughly 10 times more, are stolen in home burglaries and property crimes. Watch these thieves caught on tape breaking into a California home. Jackpot. They find a gun.
Any burglar that goes in a house and finds guns, their eyes are going to light up, and that's the first thing they're going to take.
Some estimates show nearly half of American adults owning guns, and the crooks know it, breaking into homes for the hot commodity. Stolen guns like these recovered in an ATF sting often flow right into the hands of criminals, including convicted felons, who are prohibited from buying or possessing firearms.
Talk to any criminal. They can find a gun within an hour or two. If a gun is stolen and it's a cheaper price model, you can buy it for $50.
We're getting calls for gunshots in the area.
We saw evidence of the deadly pipeline firsthand during a recent trip to Philadelphia.
Gun arrests are made every single night.
In all, six people shot in a span of only a few hours. Nearly 3,000 people were shot here last year. 3,500 guns recovered. Many of them stolen.
The detective ran this particular gun, and mm-hmm. it came back stolen back in 2005.
Really?
So it's been on the street for 7 years now.
With the debate raging, if some guns get harder to buy, authorities say it will be even more important for retailers to fortify their buildings. And to gun owners at home, police say keep your guns out of public view and secure in a safe. Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
All right. So that's very informative. That is very totally informative. But if you really think about it, majority of those people who are stealing guns, breaking into homes, breaking into businesses, and taking those guns are African American, young African American men. And where are they going to wind up? End up in prison. In prison. And these are the same guys who are standing on street corners saying, "What's happening, brother? How's it going, bro? What's going on?" And that's why I say, don't call me brother, because I'm not your brother. I know what you are about. Get yourself together. Don't call me brother unless you really mean it. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for podcasting. Thank you for all your kind words. Okay, I don't have a guest today, but I think I'm going to have one on Sunday. So be with me on Sunday. Although I'm here tomorrow, it's Saturday. Saturday is usually a family day. I understand it. I totally understand it. If you can't be with me Saturday, podcast the show. It's always there. It's always on my website on Block Talk Radio. And I'm pretty sure you know that by now. Go podcast the show. I mean, there's a lots of shows there. I mean, there's about 100 and something shows there, 100 and something podcasts of this show. And they're all good. They're all great. Some with guests, some without guests, you know, but they're all good. And check those out. All right. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's about maybe about 75 degrees or something out there. And I will be right back. Listen to this. Bye-bye. No. Listen. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on Block Talk Radio and out of Chicago, the state of Illinois. We are still in a shutdown. What are we going to do? I'm throwing it out there. Maybe you have some answers. Hook me up in my inbox or something and saying how we are going to get out of this mess. Because without a state budget, which we have not had one since July 1st, the fiscal year, it has just been a mess. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of the social programs have shut down, closed because of funding, because of Bruce Rauner. We have to do something. We have to get out here and vote. We got to do it. We got to do it. We got to take this country back. I'm going to be a broken record here on every show, because from now and until 2016, until we get a Democrat, Republican, or Republican in office, I'm going to be right here. Hopefully not a Republican. We've got to do something to take the country back. You know, I mean, Donald Trump, he make me laugh, but, you know, I mean, I like him. I like Trump. I really do. I like him. He's a millionaire. He says what he wants. He's not bought and paid for like so many others who are in Congress. Bernie Sanders, he is not bought and paid for. Hillary Clinton, she's corporate. She's taking money from unsavory places. She will have a hard time winning the nomination. But let's say this. Let's say if Bernie Sanders doesn't win the nomination and Hillary gets it. So we have to get behind Hillary. We've got to get behind Hillary, you know, regardless. So I've been told not to bash Hillary. At first, I was kind of taken back by that, not to bash her on the radio or on any social media website. I was taken back by that. I was, don't bash Hillary, don't bash Hillary. But now I'm seeing the light. I shouldn't bash Hillary, because Hillary may be our only shot. But these emails and Benghazi and all of these other Republican issues are taking her down. She's losing support, but she's still leading. So if Bernie Sanders, I'm going to vote for Bernie. I don't think Joe Biden is going to jump in, because he's still kind of shaken up from his son's death. So he may not jump in. But Bernie Sanders, I'm still on the side of Bernie Sanders. But if Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination and Hillary somehow gets it, then we have to put all our efforts in getting Hillary into the White House, okay? The Republicans are trying to take her down. They're trying to really, really destroy her. They are doing it. They're trying to really destroy her. We can't let that happen. No matter what your feelings about Hillary, you know, she is a woman. You know, we can't let these bully-ass Republicans destroy her and take her down, okay? All right, so we have to get out there and vote in 2016. We have to vote not only in the presidential election, but before the presidential election. We have to vote or during the presidential election or at the same time of the presidential election. We have to vote in the midterms. Also, if you get a Democratic president into office, you have to give him something to work with. Give him a Democratic Congress to work with so he can get things done, or she can get things done. 2014, we did not vote. I mean, everybody, I voted, but everybody did not vote. A lot of people did not vote in the 2016 election. That's one of the reasons, if not the main reason, why we got this guy, Bruce Rauner, as governor in Illinois. We got to get out here and do something. We got to vote. And keep guys like Bruce Rauner out. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Just about off the air. Hope you join me tomorrow. We should have some pretty good topics to talk about tomorrow. So join me tomorrow. I'm going to take this out with the OJs, if I can. All right, here we go. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
can you call me brother when you don't respect my woman?